Well, thank you for your faithful obedience in giving of God's tithes and your offerings. I just want to echo, we're going to be out that direction, the old football field for the Easter egg hunt. And last year we did it there, and it was successful and awesome, and it was safe, and lots of eggs, and lots of kids and families. So if you will continue to pray that we have good weather and that families come out, and so start inviting your neighbor kids. We'll get the word out as well, but we would love some help if you want to help us with that. There's all kinds of setup, and we got to seed the field with the eggs, and sometimes they mysteriously open up and the eggs are empty. I'm just kidding. Yeah, we've got 9,000 plus eggs or more, so it's awesome. Anyway, be praying for that event. So we're concluding the sermon series titled Jesus Over What Matters. When it comes down to it, people, not things, are what matter. But we do get distracted by difficult circumstances in life, and we lose our way from time to time. And there's a longing in us for significance. There's a longing in us for meaning and purpose, that our lives weren't wasted. The first Sunday we talked about connect. In a world of disconnection, God has wired us for connection. If God lives in you and me, we are to be an unstoppable force for God, for good, in building His kingdom with passion and power and purpose and prayer. We're invited to connect to something bigger than ourselves, with God and with one another, and it's called the church. And there's a deep desire to know and be known by someone else in life. You see, accepting Christ is a personal decision that only you can make. Your mom can't make it for you. Your dad can't make it for you. Your uncle, whoever. You have to make it, but it's lived out in connection with one another. Connect. Next, we talked about change. The pain of staying the same forces us to make changes. Isn't that true? The pain of staying the same forces us to make changes. When the pain we feel is so great and it's constant, it's time to change. And that requires work and action and effort and motion. But we often resist change because of what's in our hearts, as the Bible describes as deceitful and wicked above all. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit, like the tree that the prophet Jeremiah spoke about, that tree that's planted by the river's edge, where the roots grow deep. And when the heat is on, and when there's a drought, our leaves are still green, producing fruit in those difficult, hard seasons of life. Change won't happen instantly. We wish it would. Change is becoming. It's growing healthier spiritually and emotionally and relationally, even mentally, right? Change is becoming in the likeness and character of Jesus Christ. You see, change doesn't equal perfection, so just let it go and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to do the work on the inside, from the inside out. Staying connected to others helps us change and stay changed. You see, change is the process of becoming more like Jesus. Change. I remember as a kid growing up in Utah, that's why I talk a little different, playing in our fenced-in backyard. Along the sides of the fence in the backyard of our house, my mom would attempt to grow flowers, plants, and even a garden. And if it were my older brothers or when my friends came over to play, we would play in our backyard and completely destroy anything that grew there. Boys will be boys, right? Better outside than inside. No rough house. How many heard that before? But I remember being old enough to use a tiller one summer, right, to break up the hard dirt so my mom could plant something. And although it was work guiding that tiller, if you've ever done one of those, right? The tiller itself was doing the real work, breaking up the hard, crusty ground. The reason that everyone uses a tiller is to prepare the ground, the dirt, the soil, so seeds can be planted and given a chance to grow. If you think about it, this applies to our hearts and our lives. Our hearts can get crusted over from a painful relationship or friendship. The heart's surface can become callous and cold and unfeeling, filled with anxiety and fear, protecting itself from further pain, a death, a divorce, a job loss, bad health report, friendship betrayal, disappointments in life. The list could go on and on. You see, the heart can become hardened and tough by life's difficult circumstances. And this kind of condition of our hearts makes it difficult for things to grow and for new growth to happen, because the surface is hard on our hearts. It seems nothing can penetrate the ground of our hearts. And what really needs to happen is we need the tiller of God's Word, right, to come in and break up the hardened soil of our hearts, to allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate a heart to receive not only God's love and grace, but to allow others in as well. But the longer that we live with this hardness of heart, the more difficult it is for God's love to break through. But I have good news today. There is a love that can break through, even the hardest heart. Even the hardest heart, God's love can break through. I've seen it. I've experienced it. So I've titled my message in this series, Jesus Over What Matters, Cultivate. Connect, change, cultivate. We don't really use that word a whole lot in our daily conversations, but it happens every day intentionally, and it happens unintentionally. Cultivating a relationship with someone, a client, a customer, right? A family member, a friend, with our spouse, our kids, our grandkids, by loving and caring for them. We're cultivating that. We don't always know it, but we cultivate an atmosphere at work with a boss and other employees. Cultivation happens here at Peace Chapel with this church family too. The verb cultivate is defined this: to prepare, to grow and care for, to raise something under conditions that you can control. See, a lot of that definition naturally has to do with planting and soil and dirt. With spring officially here, yay! If it ever stops snowing, wait till tomorrow. It could snow tomorrow in Illinois. The ground will eventually, hopefully, be thawed and ready to plant flowers or a garden. How many are ready to do that? Get your hand. Yeah, okay. And in our context this morning, relating to what matters, it is to connect with God and with others and to allow God to change us, to make us more like Jesus, but it's also allowing God to cultivate our hearts to serve others. It's allowing God to cultivate our hearts to serve others, to prepare, grow, care for our hearts to want to serve others, to intentionally care and serve people and not just our own needs. Again, that takes effort, that takes action and awareness from within. It's almost countercultural, it's almost counterintuitive to cultivate a heart to serve. Because we all have this instinct inside, we all have this tendency to self-preserve instead of self-sacrifice. Even though God has called us to be missional, to cultivate our hearts to meet the needs of others. That's what he's called us to do. What does it mean to cultivate? What does that look like? You see, to demonstrate, this is what it means, to demonstrate through serving our love for Jesus. A quick example is Easterific egg event. Many of you will come to serve. You may not know many of the people that come, but you're here to serve families and kids that they would have a great time. The gospel is going to be preached. And each bag is the gospel story and an invitation to come back the next day, right here. Are we ready for them, right? What if they sit in your seat? Are you okay with that? You okay with that? Okay. That's an example of serving others because we love Jesus. Cultivating is formed in our heart when we see the world in need around us. We're not just always consuming, but we're always thinking others. You see, we are created to connect with God and with others through relationship. We talked about that. So we can change to become more like Jesus as a result of looking and acting and talking like Jesus. That's the end game. But we are also cultivating our hearts to serve each other. It's what matters. I noticed I've been doing this a lot, right? I'm kind of forming the heart. So a lot of hand motions there. And I'm not Italian. So I'll try to do my best here. A synagogue leader's daughter has just died. And he came to Jesus, and he's humble, and he asked if Jesus would come back with him to bring her back to life. So Jesus and his disciples go with the synagogue leader. And as they were going, a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, who had spent everything she had on doctors, who still couldn't help her, she came up behind Jesus, and you know the story. She touched the hem of his robe. Jesus stops because of her faith, and she was healed. Well, Jesus gets to the synagogue leader's home, and the funeral music is playing. He tells everyone to get out, and Jesus raises this little girl back to life. As soon as Jesus left the little girl's home, two blind men are following him. "Do you believe I can make you see?" Jesus asked them. "Yes, we do." And they were healed. When Jesus left, these men, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak, was brought to Jesus, and Jesus cast out the demon. You see the progression here? Here's where we pick up the story in our text this morning in Matthew chapter 9. Verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus is walking and teaching among the people, and he's encountering their needs. He was busy ministering to them. When Jesus saw the crowds, Scripture says he was overwhelmed with compassion. His response to the people, it mirrors the deep inner mercy of God. He healed their diseases and their sicknesses. They were without a shepherd, weary, abandoned like sheep, weighed down by the legalistic rules and doctrines of the religious Pharisees. And it's here that the call to care for people is given. He compared these abandoned sheep to a field that is ready to be harvested, but there are no workers to do the harvesting. So what does Jesus say we should pray for? What does he say? That God would send out workers and respond to the call. But be prepared for God to use you and to use me to care for a particular need. God is wanting to cultivate a heart in us to serve others in need. Cultivate. The struggle is real, right? The struggle to cultivate a heart to serve others for the long haul. It requires a soft and selfless heart that only God can help you with. Take a farmer who cultivates his land, tilling the soil in the springtime. He's imagining the corn. He's imagining the soybeans that will grow there, right? Farmers have a vision. He thinks about, will there be enough rain for the crop to grow? And after tilling the ground, it's time for the fertilizer. It's time for the weed prevention. And he plants the seeds. And over time, he watches that seed poke through the soil and grow, and all the while keeping an eye on the insects. Then it's time to harvest the crops and sell what he's grown. It all started by cultivating the soil for growth. As you drive along the highways and the roads, you see the fields. They're getting ready. Is the farmer ever done cultivating the soil? Is the farmer ever done cultivating the soil? No. The farmer can't sit back and hopes he'll have a crop next year without doing the cultivating and the hard work season after season. He returns again to the soil to cultivate it for the next season. What am I saying? Sometimes our hearts are good and we're growing, but then over time it gets hard again. And maybe we're in a difficult season and we need that the tiller of God's word to break through. You see, as long as there is a mission to reach people for Jesus, you're never done cultivating a missional life this side of the grave. But cultivating a heart is more than stopping at the orphanage on Thursday to play with the kids and then swing by the homeless shelter on Friday to cook and feed them and then mow the neighbor's yard on Saturday and then wake up on Sunday and help with PC kids in the lower level. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. That's amazing and good. That's amazing and good. But cultivating a heart is to serve not a program or an event or a calendar date to follow, but it's a way of life. It's a way of life to live every day. I know there's days we get up and we're like, I don't want to serve anyone. I'm tired. I don't want to have eyes to see who needs help. But that's the mission here at Peace Chapel. Continuing to cultivate a heart to serve others means that you are focused on the mission to love people even outside your circle of friends to Jesus. It's faith in action to meet another's need. James, the half-brother of Jesus, imagine Jesus is your older brother, someone maybe who struggled with putting his faith in his older brother, said it this way in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. My friends, what good is it to say you have faith when you don't do anything to show that you really do have faith? Can that kind of faith save you? If you know someone who doesn't have any clothes or food, you shouldn't just say, I hope all goes well for you. I hope you will be warm and have plenty to eat. What good is it to say this unless you do something to help? Faith that doesn't lead us to do good deeds is all alone and dead. You can kind of hear the tone in James's voice when he wrote these words. You can talk a good talk, but your walk should always back up your talk. You see, it's not enough just to love Jesus. You're called to connect with others, to change, to become more like Jesus, and then cultivate a heart to serve. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying you're never done. You're never done growing, connecting, changing, cultivating a heart. It never ends until your last breath. It's being Jesus with skin on to a lost and hurting and dying world. It's being his hands and feet to the brokenhearted. It's this precious faith that Jesus that causes you to get up and do something. It's good to pray that God will meet Sister So-and-so's need, but also allow God to use you to meet Sister So-and-so's need if you can. It's this beautiful partnership between God and his people that He allows us to be involved in what He's doing in this world. Because Scripture says that the heart, this right here, is deceitful and it's wicked, it's even more reason to seek God's help in cultivating that heart. How many of you know that that's true for you? And as the struggle is real, so believers struggle cultivating their hearts because oftentimes they sit in the stands instead of getting into the game. Someone else will meet their needs. Someone else will step in or step up. The assumption is that others are more gifted than you. Or I've served others when I was younger, now it's someone younger's turn to do it. You see, a lot of Christians don't cultivate a heart to serve others because they often don't want to be inconvenienced, or the cost is just too great. Or they've encountered roadblocks to help others. They've encountered roadblocks to help others, and so they don't know what to do, and they give up, and they stop looking for a go-around to help them. They tell themselves, well, I guess I don't have the spiritual gift of helps. I'm off the hook. I'll just pray for them. Wait a second. You should pray for others, of course. And in your prayer, see if you are the answer to the prayer. You're praying for them, right? Hear me this morning. You are a huge part of the solution of most problems in helping someone. Let me say that again. You are a huge part of the solution to most problems in helping someone. That's why God connects you with them. This is why we need each other to help change their situation for the good for God. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, the Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. You don't have to have the gift of spiritual helps to help others. God desires to use you, not just missionaries and pastors who stand on a platform. God wants to use you. You have a part to play, a role to play in God's kingdom. There are people and needs around you right now that you have the solution to. The key is to continually cultivate a heart to serve others. It's asking God to keep your heart soft, to keep your heart selfless, to see the needs of others. Ask God to give you the eyes to see what He sees. And guess what? And you don't need to pray about getting in the game. God wants you in. He wants everybody in. You can't meet every single need that comes across your path, but you can meet some as the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. It's listening to that still small voice. Allow God to cultivate your heart to serve others. Allow God. It can be scary. One of the scariest prayers to pray is, okay, God, who do you want me to talk to today? Okay, God, who do you want me to share my story with today? Who can I help today? If you're brave enough, I dare you. Because God, oh, okay, all right. And be watching. Allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate your heart to serve others. As we close this series, Jesus Over What Matters, again, we often lose sight of what matters. We need to be recalibrated. What matters is to connect with God and with others. Remember the Legos we had? What matters is to change, because God uses the process of change to help us become more like Jesus. We cannot stay the same. What matters is also to cultivate a heart to serve others. I've used little logos there, little pictures to help us remember to allow God access to cultivate our hearts to serve one another. And here's the good news. Again, we're not alone when it comes to God cultivating our hearts. We can do this together. Connect, change, cultivate our hearts to serve one another. If we would just open our eyes, if we would just grow a selfless heart, if we would just walk down from the grandstand, get in the game, there are real people with who have needs today even. I mean, they may not be in this room. They may be next door. They may be the house behind you. They may be the hallway across from yours. It's cultivating your heart. You may have heard this before. but it bears repeating. The late comedian George Carlin, after experiencing the passing of his wife, he gave a profound message to others, quote, "The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts yet more problems, more medicine but less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too little, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less and less. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion, big men and small character, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, fancier houses but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the showroom window and nothing in the stockroom. Remember, he goes on to say, spend some time with your loved ones because they are not going to be around forever. Remember, say a kind word to your little children who look up to you because they will soon grow up and leave your side. Remember to give a warm hug to the one next to you because that is the only treasure you can give with your heart and it doesn't cost a cent. Remember to say, I love you to your spouse and your loved ones, but most of all, mean it. A kiss and an embrace will mend hurts when it comes from deep inside of you. Remember to hold hands and cherish the moment for someday that person will not be there again. Give time to love, give time to speak, and give time to share the precious thoughts in your mind. Unquote. That's pretty insightful. Cultivate a heart to serve others. It's what matters. Let's pray.